Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rail.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live, as usual, on morelikeradio.com. It is fucking cold. It is near the end of November. It's 1 month away from Christmas. No one give a shit about Christmas. But yes, welcome to the show. As I say, I am Ashley, as I always have been for the past 30 years. I say this is Antisocial Gamer Radio. Lots to talk about. Good stuff, bad stuff, very good stuff. I'm really pumped, which is weird because I'm freezing fucking cold in my flat at the moment. I've got the heating on, but it's not doing bugger all to me. Yes, but say welcome to the show. I'm just sort of literally looking at the chat now and a ton of people in there. Thank you all for turning up. Do appreciate it. I say if you listened to Dutch and Royce last week, you will have heard the announcement of the Live Event 3. I am over the fucking moon and very excited, as all the other show hosts and owners know that I can be and get overly excited. And I have my flight booked and paid for already. That's how excited I am. And it's only 5 months away, you see? I'm not in a hurry for it to hurry up, but it'll be there soon enough. But yeah, I say, More Like Radio, Live Event number 3. This will be my third one I'm going to, because I am awesome like that. It's down in Florida this year. If I can get not tongue-tied for once. Preservation Hall in Lakeland in Florida. It's basically doors open at 8:30 and it goes on till midnight. It's going to be an awesome show. I know a couple of people who are part of the Moxie LaFem group who are helping with the event. We're partnering up with them. Great bunch of people. Other people that are part of the group I haven't met yet, but I will. And tons of friendships will be happening. As people know me, I make friends with everyone. But yeah, literally, it's going to be a great show. I'm not exactly sure what's going on because I haven't been told yet. But as soon as I know and when the ticket's up, I will let you know because that is what I do. But yeah, no, it's literally, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be on April 25th of next year. So you've got plenty of time to get yourself down there, notice and all this sort of bollocks. As I told you, I have already booked my flights. I have got my locations for staying sorted out. I am literally writing a list of clothes that I need to buy and pack, which I won't buy till next year when the sales are on, because it'd be cheaper that way. But no, literally, I'm all ready to go. Pretty much mostly. You lot just need to get yourself sorted, and as soon as we know about tickets and all that sort of stuff, I will let you know on that. But I say, yeah, keep listening and I will keep you posted. But yeah, say, I can't wait. Last year was really good. The year before that was really good as well. This one next year is going to be the best one yet. I can't wait. It's in sunny Florida, which, knowing what happens usually when an Englishman turns up, it starts pissing down with rain, so let's wait and see what the weather's going to be like. But no, it's going to be really good fun, and I'm down there for a whole week, so if anyone wants to hang out, just get in touch with me, and we'll hang out in Florida. But yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a really good event. As usual, if you do want to get in touch with me or in touch with the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's 25th now. We're pretty much a month away from the Game of the Year show, which will be on the 30th of April. 30th of April. Ha! See, I've got the live event stuck in my head. The 30th of December, which will be the last show of the year. In a few weeks, I will post the Game of the Year topic thread into the Facebook group. So go with facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in there, because literally, I want to know what the best games you played. And, I'll do a big rundown closer to the last show, which will be the Game of the Year show. Closer to the time, probably at 2 or 3 weeks. Excuse me, because I've got like 5 shows until then. So that's plenty of time. But yeah, also you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. That's our Facebook page. I do appreciate the likes. Up to 181. Want to get to 200 by the end of the year, hopefully. Try and do that, be nice. And also you can follow me on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. I've been playing some stuff, some good stuff, some bad stuff, some I don't know. I Assassin's Creed. I'm kind of done with Assassin's Creed. I got, as you heard me listen to me last week, I was really excited to play Unity, and it was great. I was having tons of fun with it. And then I pretty much got to the end. I got to Memory 12. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck are we doing? What's going on here? The story's good. There's no problems with the game at all. The controls are a bit stupid. The camera's a bit shit. Usual stuff with Assassin's Creed. But it's just, for me, personally, I'm just speaking out my personal experience. Not about the whole game, because I've got people playing this game who are loving it and going crazy for it. But I'm like, I've played every Assassin's Creed game that we've got on a console, apart from Rogue, which I'm not going to touch anyway. But yeah, I want to know. I was talking to some guys at work about it, because we're all big Assassin's Creed fans. But it's like, what the fuck is going on with this game? Seriously. Right. The whole thing started out with Assassin's Creed. It was about Desmond going to fight the Templars, bring about the Assassins, looking for the Apple of Eden. Yeah, great. Then you kill him off. Okay, Desmond's dead. Then you play with, then we had, like, was it Black Flag? When you, you played as Edward Kenway, and it's like you weren't Desmond. You were some guy who worked for Abstergo in the testing facility. All right, that was okay. I could deal with that. But then, fuck, we got Unity. It's like, okay, who were you? It's just some person playing a computer game, which, is what we're doing anyway. But then there's very little real world interaction. I've watched the ending. I know how the game ends. So that's like, okay, that's kind of sad. But it's just, I care more about the whole real, what's going on in the real world of the Assassin's Creed game, more than, okay, you've set it in France. Let's piss around France, jumping on rooftops and doing the Batman shit. It's like, I want to know about what's going on in outside the real world. What's going on with Minerva and all those the first people? It's like, yeah, I want to know about all this sort of stuff. But in this one, there's nothing. There's nothing at all. It's just bollocks. It really is, and it pissed me off. So I'm like, I'm done with this shit. So I just stopped. I mean, I don't even have the game, but I sold it. I actually made a good bit of cash on it, to be honest. But yeah, I'm so pissed off. I'm like, you know, just playing this. I'm like, I was so excited for this game. It looks really good. I was happy to go around in France. Where does the story go? The story fucking goes nowhere. There's something about a sword, which you see at the beginning of the game, and where I got to, nothing's brought up about this fucking sword. So I mean, I know it was like a final boss battle, which I didn't get to, but I've seen. So I'm guessing the sword must be involved with that somewhere. But it's just a pain in the arse. It really is. I, you know, so much time and effort into this game. And yeah, it's pretty much the cash cow for Ubisoft. I was like so disappointed with this game. I mean, you know, everyone else is probably enjoying it and having fun, but I'm like, okay, I don't really want to play this anymore. I'm tired of this sort of stuff. I mean, I'm sort of glad I didn't put all that time into sort of going around opening all the chests and stuff. I sort of focused more on the story towards the end because I sort of wanted to get it done so I could play Far Cry, which I am playing now. But yeah, it's just, I feel so let down by what they're doing with the game. It's like, is everyone doing this? I mean, I know they are, but it's like, why are we getting this every fucking year? Sequel after sequel after sequel. It's just, it's annoying. It really is. I want something better from this. We need something better. We need more. It's like, you hear all these companies saying, okay, we want, you know, Ubisoft. I mean, I read this article on the fucking show, and they said, yeah, we want new tech so we can make more games, but what you're giving us is the shit we've already got. Give us new stuff. We want new stories. We want new games, new characters, new interactions. We want a whole new thing. It's a brand new fucking console generation, people. Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Steam Box, whatever, you know, fucking all that box goes on a PC Master Race bullshit. But yeah, it's like, you know, we need better stuff. Not exactly better, but different, new. I mean, it's so hard to make. I mean, it pisses me off because I'm hearing all these developers say, oh, yes, I've got all these great big fucking ideas. So we'll make new games and blah, blah, blah. Well, where is this shit you're telling us about then, motherfucker? Because I am playing the same old shit that you keep putting out year after year and I'm getting very discouraged. I mean, so, right, as I said, the Game of the Year show, 5 weeks from now, right? I mean, I pretty much know what I'm might going to pick. What the fuck is that? I might be picking. There we are. It's better English. Yeah, I think I know what I'm going to choose as my Game of the Year, but it's nothing new. It's probably going to be another sequel, but I mean, I've ordered the new Dragon Age game. That's coming to me, so I'll be playing that. I'm looking forward to playing that more than Far Cry 4, which is a pain because I had Assassin's Creed Unity and I was playing that and I'm like, I really want to play Far Cry 4. And now I'm playing Far Cry 4 and I'm like, I want to play Dragon Age. Nothing I've played this year, apart from Destiny, which fell flat on its face a few weeks ago, because I haven't played it since. But it's like, there's nothing this year that's really done anything for me that's made me want to play it, apart from Destiny. But it's just, all we're getting is sequel after sequel, and most of the stuff we're getting, I mean, it's the same old shit. It really is. I mean, I know I've got a topic about this coming up, a news article about this coming up later, but I was like, we got a trailer for the new Batman Arkham Knight, and it's like with Ace Chemicals, and you see in the car and stuff like this. It's like, okay, I'm interested in this game, but I'm kind of not. It's one of those things, it's a pain, because it's like, I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, yeah, I've done this 3 times already, and I don't want to do it again, but I'm going to, you know, I'm hoping that when I do start playing Batman, it'll be like, okay, this is good, this is fun. It's, you know, fuck it, it's Kevin Conroy, you know, for fuck's sake, he's Batman. You know, that's what I'm sort of putting all my hopes into. And the game's going to be good. I know it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. It's just, I'm just sort of tired of doing the same old stuff that I've done before. But how do you change that? I mean, you look at stuff, Call of Duty. Most of the shooters we have are military shooters. It's the same old thing. It's run, gun, shoot. There's no diversity or dynamic between what we're playing these days. It's just, That's what pisses me off. There's nothing that separates each type of genre from itself. It's just, okay, you've got military shooter, you've got sports game, you've got racing game, and that's pretty much it. That's the, oh, puzzle game, RPG, you know, it's there's nothing... I don't know, maybe I need more role-play games in my life. I don't know. I mean, Pokemon's coming out this Friday, which I can't wait for because I need to get my Pokemon on. But I don't know. It's just a weird thing I'm going through recently. All these games I'm playing and enjoying and not enjoying, and it's just... I'm just tired of playing the same old shit, really. And I want to play something new and different. You know, I mean, I know when I do the Game of the Year show, I'm going to talk about all the stuff that's coming out next year. But I say, I'm looking forward to the new Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, I know it's going to be a first-person shooter, but it's Star Wars. It's different. It's, you know, I haven't played a Star Wars first-person shooter since, I don't know, the Star Wars Republic demo, I think. That was the one where you played as, like, the clone troopers. Yeah, you know, but it's just nothing that's really doing anything for me to make me excited to play what I've been playing this year. I mean, I know when I do the Game of the Year show, I'm going to have to sort of go through all the stuff that I have been playing and check all my lists and all this sort of stuff, or go through all my game library and that. But there's just, it's just the stuff that I have been playing, it's just not interesting at all. I mean, even though I love playing it, you know, Assassin's Creed was great, but it didn't pan out story-wise the way I wanted it. It's like, you need to wrap this stuff up because you're dragging this shit out way too long. You killed off your main fucking character, who the game was about, for whatever reason. You know, and now I'm playing Far Cry 4, which is, it's a sequel, but it's not really, it's its own universe character sort of stuff, which, you know, I'll talk about in a second, literally, because I've got so much to talk about it on. But it's just, I want more from what we're getting. I mean, I know it's early days, and Xbox One and PlayStation 4 have been out for a year, and it's just, I don't know, I need to see more on the horizon. I mean, I'm really worried about next year's E3. We better get some damn good shit then. I mean, you know, I mean, look at the stuff we've got. Metal Gear Solid, another sequel. Batman, another sequel. But there's going to be another Call of Duty, there's going to be another Assassin's Creed. More sequels. There's nothing new. I mean, even the stuff that is new, it's not even good enough, really. I don't know, not up to high my expectations, but it's just, I don't know, I'm just expecting more, really. You know, I don't know, if you lot are, you know, feeling the same, you know, get in touch with me. I've given you the details, and I'll give them to you at the end of the show. But yeah, I want to know if we're going to get something better these days. I just sort of feel let down by what's being put out, what we're getting. But thing is, though, I mean, as I say, people say vote with your wallet and that sort of stuff. But people are still buying fucking Call of Duty. People are still buying Assassin's Creed. People are still buying fucking Madden and FIFA. And it's just, there's no change. We're buying what they're giving us because what they're giving us is all we're getting. So it's a, you know, double-edged sword, basically. It's a pain. It really is. But yeah, say Assassin's Creed, I'm sort of done with the series. I just wanted more from the story, the real world story. I mean, I said a couple of weeks ago, I was like, this is either going to be my last Assassin's Creed or I'm going to keep playing the game. And yeah, this is my last one. Unless something spectacular happens with, I don't know, Assassin's Creed 5, or I don't know. If I don't know. I'm more happy just not buying the game, just reading the Wikipedia of the plot. That will do me. But yeah, you know, that sort of stuff is okay. But yeah, I have been playing this past few days Far Cry 4, and it is amazing. Yes, it is pretty much the same as shit as we've done with Assassin's Creed. Far Cry 3. But yeah, it's newer, it's fresher, it's different. It is different because, you know, the whole environment's different, the setting's different, the detail is different. I mean, I'll go into this. There's, like, you know, animals and shit that you can hunt and get skins from. Oh, little tip: don't use the rocket launcher to get skins. It don't fucking work because I was hunting rhinos earlier, and I saw one of the people on my own group had a rocket launcher. So I killed him to take the rocket launcher. I thought, yeah, this would be great to blow up rhinos with to get their skins. Didn't work. It damaged the skin, so I couldn't use it. But rocket launcher, a really great weapon to use. But yeah, I say there's rhinos and elephants, and there's the honey badger. There's the guy who basically, sort of some sort of fashion guy who says, you know, I need these skins and such and such. He does make the whole honey badger references, which is quite funny because one of the exotic. It's like every sort of animal has their own, like, sort of legendary creature that you need to find. Has, you know, that you need one to upgrade your armor and your gear and stuff. And the honey badger one, because the honey badgers are fucking deadly bastards. Because they're it's a honey badger. They're very small and they move very fast and they're very strong when it comes to attacking. But I like the mission that we got to do the Kairat fashion safari. I think that was what it's called. Yeah, they gave me a light machine gun, one of the great big heavy things. And I was like, okay, you want me to kill a honey badger with one of those great big fucking guns? Yeah, I'll do that. Yes, it is a lot of fun, and it is really good, and I'm having tons of fun with it. But yeah, I'll go into some of the bits and pieces. I mean, what I've done now, I mean, the area, it's one big sort of landmass, but it does bar you off from certain sections of the game. From where I am playing now, from what I've started, I mean, I've barely done any of the main missions. I've just sort of been doing the sort of side missions. I've done a lot of assassination missions and eye for an eye missions, which I'll explain in about a sec. But yeah, I've climbed all the bell towers that I've access to, and I've taken over all the outposts. And I like with the outposts, they've actually added a feature where you can sort of replay them, which was patched in with Far Cry 3. But now you can do you can take over the outposts to set records, like how stealthily you can do it and how quick and that sort of stuff, and you get points. It is very fun. I haven't done any of those yet because I'm sort of waiting to get the better weapons, which I've sort of got, but I'm sort of trying to get through other bits and pieces now. Sorry, I'm trying to catch a breath, but that's it. I'm going to hiccup or something. But yeah, different gear. I say I've upgraded most of what I can do. I mean, it's the usual stuff. You need skins to upgrade your armor and your quiver and make better bags. And so basically you've got like hunt rhinos and bears and honey badgers and clouded leopards and wild boars and pigs and stuff like, you know, and most of that I've done. There's only like a couple left. I mean, I need, I think, like 4 or 5 snow leopard skins and then whatever special missions left to take care of the final skins that I need that will be done. But yeah, I say it is really fun to do this sort of stuff. I mean, I did try and use a rocket launcher to try and get a rhino skin. That didn't work. So basically, I had to sort of... Because when you die, before saving, you lose all your shit, which is a pain. So I had to sort of, you know, get one rhino skin, which took ages because they're really tough. They'll charge you and take half your health and then charge you again and pretty much nearly kill you. And if you're on half health anyway, you'll probably end up dying. But it's literally most of the money I have got has gone to basically buying the little health injections and buying ammo, which is really expensive. But yeah, say there's loads of side stuff that I have been doing, apart from because I've done one main story mission, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, I say the eye for an eye missions and assassination missions, they're pretty much the same. I think the assassination mission is you have to take out like the enemy general or something and then dump his body somewhere. I know there's another one where you've got to do the same thing, but you need to take a picture of the enemy general's body, I think. But I mean, they're mostly the same, the whole outpost. It's literally, you've got to sneak around, kill people, not get detected, and that's it, really, pretty much. But yeah, I say all these missions and what you do are really, really fun, and it's, you know, it's my kind of thing. It's literally, I've got I've got like the bow, the really good one, I can't remember what the fuck word it's called, I'm trying to say. But yeah, I've got like assault rifle, which is really good, and silenced pistol that I got it from the Uplay, having the points to buy it. It's a lot like RoboCop's gun. It's like a sort of machine pistol, really. And silenced as well, and it's great. It's good for taking out enemies. What else have I got? Science pistol. Oh yeah, the sniper rifle, which is, you know, has a scope and a silencer. Yes, silencer on it, which makes it fun for doing headshots and taking out outposts. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. Yeah, lots of. Just looking at this because of the radio station that you get. Because you meet the guy and he's got to do some sort of propaganda missions to help him out. But yeah, there's a lot of real-world references in this game. I mean, the guy on the radio says about Pagan Min saying how his costume looks like a sort of a child's Joker Halloween costume. And, it, you know, And he talked, and you know, the fashion guy talked about the honey badger. And there's a lot of real world stuff being talked about in this game, which I wouldn't expect. I mean, there's not, you know, I'm thinking now about sort of Burnout Paradise, how that was, you know, there was billboards there that had like Gillette on it and Duracell and other stuff like that. But a lot of real world references, and it sort of makes the game grounded in sort of reality. And it's nice. It's really nice to sort of have that sort of interaction with, you know, it has that interaction with the actual player themselves, like, you know, me or you or whoever else has got Far Cry 4. But it is really good how it's all, you know, open and nice. You know, it's all, I don't know, I'm trying to think what the word I'm trying to use to describe it. I'm just, nothing's popping to mind. Loads of other different stuff. I mean, I'm going to talk about the story and the character later, but I'm going to go through a little bits and pieces that I've got on my notes here. There's a sort of build your own homestead kind of thing, which is nice. It's very expensive. There's one mission where you had to go and see these two English blokes, and they said, well, they sort of knock you. It's weird. It sort of starts up two different sets of missions. The first one, it's like you have to you go and see these two guys, and they basically knock you out with drugs and whatever, and you wake up in this arena and you're naked and you've got to sort of fight off these wave after wave of enemies, and it's tricky. It's a bit hard because literally you start off with a knife, and then you get better and better guns, and it's just sort of trying to take out all these enemies without them seeing you, but you know, without dying, basically. But it's a lot of fun. Where was I? Yeah, oh yeah, because one of these missions as well, when you do the homestead stuff, you go to Shangri-La, which is, I don't know if anyone's seen it in the trailers, it's the sort of mystical land, because you need this tapestry or something. I'm not too sure, I've got one piece already, there's like a couple more bits I need to get. Some sort of tapestry you can put up on the wall in your home. Not exactly sure what it does, but I'm going to find out once I've, you know, this game is so big, I'm about 30% of the way through the game, and I've barely even touched it. I feel like I've barely even touched it. So I know there's like money that I could find from loot chests, and I've got missions and stuff to do. I mean, there's not that much of anything really to do in this, but it just feels so overwhelming when I play it, because I sort of want to get it all right. I mean, I don't think I'll bother with a second playthrough, because I'll probably just see the ending. Because with the story, there's two, because I think you do, The team you work for, the Golden Palace, some sort of Golden Path, the Golden Path, I think. Yeah, the team that you work for, there's two leaders, and basically you follow the story of whoever you choose to follow, either this bloke or this other woman. And I'm choosing to follow the guy, but I mean, I'll go on YouTube and see the different ending if I follow the woman to see what happens with that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes, but there's so much of stuff. There's so much collecting to do. There's like these masks, which I don't know what they do. There's like 55 of them. Because I had a look through the whole, there's like in the menu, there's like a progression system, and it shows you how many outposts you've taken, how many bell towers you've cleared by climbing them. There's, you know, how many weapons you've found, how many cars you've driven, all that sort of stuff. And it is a lot of fun. And I say, this game is crazy nuts. But I say, yeah, something else to mention, I was talking about the animals. Rhinos and elephants. Yeah, so they're really tough when you don't want to fuck with them. Especially, I mean, I was watching, two things. I was watching an elephant sort of go into the water, which I thought was really weird. It's how deep, it just basically shows how detailed this game is. An elephant went into the water and started to wash itself with its trunk. I mean, I took a picture of this. It's on my Facebook's cover photo. But I was amazed. I was just watching this elephant just jump, go into the water, and then start to wash itself. But then literally there was some demon fish, which is sort of piranhas. They killed that elephant, and the elephant died, which was a bit of a pain in the arse. But yeah, that sort of happened, which wasn't very nice. But yeah, I was like watching like the rhinos. There was a sort of shootout that was going on between me and some enemy soldiers. And they started to shoot at the rhino, and the rhino just charged and hit their car. It was like a Jeep thing. And it blew it. It just threw it into the air. It was amazing. You know, just the amount of detail they've gone to with, you know, the animal interaction with this game. I'd never say it surprises me, because I've never seen anything like it. But it's really, really good. But yeah, so go back to the homestead thing. Yeah, Yeah, the Homestead, it's sort of, you can buy bits and pieces to upgrade it. I mean, the most of the expensive thing I've seen is like 500,000 rupees. But there's other stuff which is like lower in price, like 40,000, 25,000, 250, yeah. Stuff like that, really. But it's, I mean, most of the money I have gone on spending, I used to have a lot of money, but it's mostly it's gone to health and weapons and stuff so I can get these skins. But now that I have, you know, a need for money, I'm sort of searching every body that I find, opening all the loot chests, and just trying to do as much as I can with it. And it is really fun. What else have I got left to talk about? Driving the vehicles, yes. Same sort of problem that I had with the previous Far Cry games. I mean, driving vehicles is fun. I mean, the quad bike's a piece of shit. It's horrible to handle. It's because it's really fast and it's very tricky. But I mean, I prefer doing the normal Jeeps. Just so much easier to handle. And they have like an auto drive system. So basically, you can set up a waypoint on the map and then just click the button and it just drives itself. All you got to do is sort of push the stick, one of the analog sticks upwards, and it goes faster. But yeah, it's quite fun. I mean, the vehicles are great. And, you know, some of the ones have got turrets and guns and stuff on them. It's quite nice. Story. We'll go into that. Yeah. Basically, the whole story with this is it was RJ Gali, I think his name is. And you'll basically come back to Kirat to scatter the ashes of your mother, who has died, obviously. And you're caught up in this big civil war between basically Pagan Min and his Royal Republic Guard, I think it is, against the Yellow Path, and basically wanting to, you know, pretty much kill each other. And while the Yellow Path want to live in a better Kirat, whereas Pagan Min wants to rule everyone and be king, basically. But yeah, I say it, you know, it's really good. I mean, the game starts off, you're pretty much on a... I like how it starts. I mean, it's one of the, you know, great great sights of a good game. It's, you know, you're basically on a bus going into the country, and you get stopped and you're picked up by Pagan Ming. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on at the beginning of the game. Then you get found by the Golden Path and you're taken back to your hideout, and it said, well, this is going on, that's going on, and we need you to fight with us because your dad was one of the great leaders of the founders of the movement. All sorts of weird, crazy stuff going on with that. That's pretty much the story. I'm not disappointed, but it's a different perspective on a character. I preferred the character of Jason Brody in Far Cry 3 to RJ Gali with Far Cry 4, because I mean, with Jason, he was more, you know, his family got caught, his brother was killed, he just wanted to get his family safe. Whereas with RJ, it's like he has no family. His dad is dead, I believe. I mean, I don't think anyone talks about him, so I think he must be dead. His mother's dead. He has no love interest. It's not as in-depth as what Far Cry 3 was with the story with the characters, you know, trying to rescue your girlfriend, trying to rescue your brothers, trying to get everyone basically back home and safe. Whereas this, I'm looking forward to the ending to find out, you know, what happens. But I mean, it's not exactly as good as, well, the story's, I don't know. See, it's hard to explain because I've barely touched the story. So I mean, I'm gonna say at the moment it's not as good as Far Cry 3 when it comes to the story, but I'm enjoying what we're getting from the game right now. I mean, you know, there's missions that I need to do and other bits and pieces, and I'm gonna sort of crack my way through the story. I mean, I think there's only like 23 main missions, and I'm up to 8 or 9 already. So I mean, I'm off work next week, so I'm gonna knock this game out and get it all done. But I am looking forward to sort of, you know, playing more with this when I get a chance. I mean, I'll be playing it right now, but I've got a show to do, see? There was something else I completely forgot to talk about. Shit, I can't remember. Fuck it. But yeah, I say lots of stuff to do. I mean, there's other than the side missions, is like time trials, sort of Kirat racing ones, and which I've done one. They're not important to the story or pretty much anything. You get XP and stuff from it, some money here and there, but it's not a real main thought on my mind about where I go with the story, and you know how I play my character as. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to finishing this because it's literally one more thing to add to my game of the list queue. And Dragon Age is coming to me, so I'll be able to play that. I mean, I do want to get Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PlayStation 4, but I'm probably going to buy that next year, I'd say, when, you know, not money's more flexible, but once I've played all the stuff that I haven't played already, my mate at work wants to lend me the new Call of Duty game, which I don't mind accepting and playing that for a bit. But there isn't much stuff that's out at the moment that I'm interested in, but I don't know. It's still early days. I mean, we've still got a good few weeks, and other stuff I can play, you know, I mean, Pokemon's coming out Friday, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, Dragon Age is coming to me. There's bits and pieces going on all over the place. But yeah, so Far Cry 4, a really good game, and it's worth picking up. And I do recommend it. I mean, so if you didn't play 3, get 4, you'll love it. I mean, the character's not much, there's not much depth to him because he doesn't have that whole, I don't know, I mean, just, I'm guessing probably towards the end of the game you're going to be made the king of Kirat or something stupid like that. But I mean, he fights for himself and to protect his country, but I mean, he has no friends as such in the game. His family's dead, so basically all he protects, all he has to fight for is, you know, the people, really. So I'm gonna guess there's some sort of more story element to the game. I mean, I'm just sort of thinking now how it compared to 3 with the whole run-up to the to launch, when, you know, with 3 we got all these, you know, trailers with all the different characters, all the bad guys, whereas with this it's like, yeah, it's bad guys Pagan Min, you've got some of his understudies, you know, his generals. There's just not much to it, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, I'm expecting more, but I mean, I've barely scratched the surface on how good this game is. But yeah, I do love this game, and it's really, really good. And yeah, I recommend everyone to pick it up. It's really, really fun. So yeah, Dragon Age, I've purchased. It should be coming its way to me. But I do want to talk about, I say, because Pokemon's coming out this week, and most of the people in America and various other parts of the world have it already. I did watch the latest Pokemon movie, and say, because, you know, I do love me Pokemon. I didn't like this movie as much as I did the last one. I mean, the last one was the Genesect and the Legend Awakened. It was actually really, I mean, I watched this one the other day as well. But yeah, this new one, was it Diancie and the Cocoon of Destruction? It was good. I liked it. I'm not saying I didn't. I was expecting more from it. I mean, the whole thing, it sort of takes place, it's like, yeah, Diancie, it needs to get stronger so it can make some sort of jewel to help its underground kingdom. Yeah, it's even for Pokemon, it's a bit far-fetched. funny. Yeah, it was good, but not as good as what I was hoping. I mean, I want to talk about getting Mega Pokemon in it. There was Mega Pokemon in it. I mean, you know, Mega Diancie and Mega Caesar, a couple of other Megas, but that was like in the 5-minute intro. I was like, this is the world of Pokemon. You know, it was sort of the voiceover guy was talking about. But yeah, I mean, I was expecting, like, just, you know, Mewtwo Y, Mewtwo X fighting, and a load of other Mega Pokemon fighting the shit out of each other, and yeah, it just didn't happen. I mean, the story pretty much felt like a copy of the Keldeo movie, and that fucking movie was terrible. Even with the solid voice actors that were in it. But yeah, this one was okay. It wasn't as good as what we've got, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm probably never going to watch it again, but yeah, it was good. I mean, I know it'll be on YouTube sometime, and I'll watch it again then, whenever I feel the need for it. But yeah, I was sort of trying to get me a little bit of a Pokemon fix, because, you know, Aorus comes out Friday, and I am desperate to get that game so I can, you know, do what I need to do to, you know, finish my Pokedex and have all the Pokemon that I need with the right natures and all this sort of stuff, really. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I know I've talked for a fair bit. I've still got a bit of time for the first break, which I'll get into some new stuff. But yeah, I say, you know, Far Cry 4, sort of one of the best things I'm playing at the moment. Very interesting altogether. But yeah, I said that, you know, going to this first article from Eurogamer, and this sort of reflection on where, you know, Assassin's Creed is failing, it's probably because of this guy. Patrice Didicet opens a new Montreal-based studio. So this is from Eurogamer. Assassin's Creed creative director Patrice Didicet has opened a new Montreal-based studio after he was unceremoniously fired from Ubisoft in May of last year, 2 months after he rejoined the company. This new studio is called Panache Digital Games and has a sweet logo of digitalized antlers that couldn't look out of place on a Radiohead cover. Unfortunately, that's not all we know. That's about all we know. Shortly after Dillisette's departure from Ubisoft, the publisher stated that he'd put the project he'd been working on, codename 1666, on hold for an undisclosed time. When Dillisette was terminated from Ubisoft, he said, "Ubisoft's actions are baseless and without merit. I intend to fight Ubisoft vigorously for my rights, for my team, and for my game." Given that he started his own studio, started a studio in the same city, it seems likely that many of his ex-colleagues will join him. But will it be similar to 1666? That project began when Dillisette worked at the now defunct THQ Montreal, so it seems especially close to his heart. We've requested further info as to Panache's involvement with the remnants of 1666, but chances are we'll have to wait a while before we gain any solid info on the newly minted studio's debut effort. But yeah, I say there has been an update to this story. While it's still unclear where Panache is working on, the studio has confirmed that to Eurogamer that Patrice is still embroiled in a legal battle with Ubisoft over the rights to 1666, the code name for the game he was working on before he was canned. When asked whether Panache's debut effort would be picking up the ashes of 1666, a studio rep issued as the following statement: "In the short term, we will stay mum, as you are saying." Tells us done by a French guy, especially concerning 1666. But this subject is still a legal process. But it's important to say that Pat is fighting for his rights on the project, which is good, since he was working on it. And well, we'll see what it is. I mean, if it does come to fruition, yay. But if not, then no big loss, really, because no one told us what it is. All we have is a code name, that's about it, really. Let's find something else. I know I had some other Assassin's Creed stuff, but I can't remember where it is. Okay. Well, so as I've talked about Far Cry, let's do some Far Cry talking with a news topic. It's from CBG. Ubisoft investigating Far Cry 4 crashes and data corruption. Missing DLC redemption codes also being looked into. Ubisoft is investigating a number of problems reported by Far Cry 4 players. Whether a day one patch released alongside the game on Tuesday rectified a number of known issues, a few more have since come to light. The primary issues are currently being investigated are listed below via Ubisoft's live update site. PC crashes. Some players have reported problems loading the game that result in a crash that manifests as a black screen. We've been able to reproduce this internally while we are trying to investigate this. Our initial findings suggest that this may be the result of the presence of certain peripherals that are causing conflicts. PlayStation 3 corruption. We have seen reports from PlayStation 3 players that they are receiving a message reading game data is corrupt. Please delete Far Cry 3 data. How does that work? While the message suggests that this would... How does this work? One sec. This would be limited to players who also played Far Cry 3 on the same console. We are receiving similar reports from players who have not played Far Cry 3. It says, if you are submitting reports about this issue, please clarify if you're playing Far Cry 3 or Blood Dragon on the same console. I'm glad that's why I'm not on the same console as what I played Far Cry 3 on. Pre-order code redemption. Players who pre-ordered the game were told that they would receive an email with a redemption code for the Blood Ruby bonus mission in advance of the game's release. Some players reported that they did not yet receive this email, and some players have reported that they did receive the email, but it was missing a valid code. Alex Hutchinson, creative director at Ubisoft Montreal, has also delivered a message to PC players unable to locate the game's field of view control. It says, PC players, if you're online and complaining about the lack of FOV control, you pirated the game. And, yeah, that's the whole thing. It was a whole bunch of stuff about people pirating the game that were coming out. They couldn't access it properly, which I think I have that article right here. Where is it? It was here a second ago. I know it was. Shit. Maybe it's in here. Damn it. No, it's not here. Must have deleted it. But yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff about people, you know, that complain that they can't play the game properly. And it just turned out they just pirated the game. And, you know, fucking tough titty for them, to be honest. But yeah, I haven't had any of these problems. I'm really enjoying me old bit of Far Cry 4 at the moment. And yeah, it is really, really fun. It really is. And I am looking forward to playing it. This is from Eurogamer. Prey 2 is officially dead. Prey 2 is dead and not in the fun, undead Halloween sort of way or like Spock between Star Trek 2 and 3. Yay, nice with the references. Jesus Christ, just get on the fucking article. Everyone thinks they're a comedian these days. It wasn't up to our quality and standard, so we decided to cancel it. It's no longer in development, said Vice President of Bethesda Pete Hines in an interview with CNET. That wasn't an easy decision, but it's one that won't surprise many folks, given that we hadn't been talking about it. Not really. I mean, we got that trailer, and which was Prey 2. People like Prey, the first Prey. I mean, I played the demo, but I wasn't going to buy it. I just didn't really care enough to play it. But Prey 2 wasn't even going to be Prey anyway. It was like Blade Runner and sort of Star Wars Bounty Hunt. It was barely what it was, what people were after. I mean, you know, it came out, we got information, and no one cared. And yeah, just cancel it. No one cares. I mean, there's so much other stuff that Bethesda needs to work on, like, I don't know, Fallout 4 and, you know, the next Elder Scrolls game. You know, something like that with some, you know, brand new technology and hardware and graphics and stuff. But yeah, sorry, I'll carry on reading. This isn't a huge surprise given how long Bethesda has remained mum about it. Last we checked, it had been taken from the studio's Human Head, who whipped up an impressive showing for it at E3 2011, which basically shows you how long it's been since we've seen it, 3 years. In April 2012, Bethesda statement stated that the development of Prey 2 has not been cancelled, but rather it wouldn't be released in 2012, as was the initial plan. Rumours circulated that Dishonored developer Arkane was working on it at a new Austin branch for a presumed 2016 release, and an ex-Human Head developer was adamant that it was a lot more than a demo. Prey 2 was a full game and a crazy fun one. Team was small, but you wouldn't have known it, said former narrative designer Jason Blair. What's happened to Prey 2, from where I sat, was political and pretty and petty, and potentially obligatable. Human Head had a great game. But yeah, obviously you had a great game and Bethesda didn't think so, so they cancelled it, which is understandable, really. I mean, I don't think Prey 2 was going to sell that well. I mean, it's, what, 3 years since we last saw something, and yeah, we just got nothing from this. I mean, the first Prey did okay, but it's not going to be one of the big memorable titles, but hopefully they can sort of pull whatever gameplay and stuff from whatever was Prey, mix it with something else and turn it into a brand new game so we still get the sort of Prey feeling, you know, a sort of spiritual successor. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. Yeah, we'll talk about this Batman stuff because I talked about this earlier. Batman Arkham Knight trailer swoops into Ace Chemicals. The developer Rocksteady has released a good slice of new gameplay footage. The trailer takes Batman to Ace Chemicals for a mission that sees him infiltrate the facility by land, air, and the Batmobile. It's the very first we've seen of the game since E3. We also heard word of its delay into next year. Arkham Knight, the concluding chapter in Rockstar's trilogy, will now launch on 2nd of June 2015. It had previously been due for release in October. The game's eponymous villain is featured extensively in the footage. But who's inside the suits? This is from Eurogamer. They say the Joker. I think the Joker as well, but I'm thinking, I mean, you know, I'm a big Batman fan. I'm thinking Tommy Elliott, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking forward to this game, but I'm looking forward to, you know, this is like the last one. I'm sort of glad with that because I'm like, I'm tired of doing, as I said at the beginning of the show, I'm tired of doing the same old shit that we do again and again and again and again. And it's just something I really don't want to do all the time. Let's have a look. I feel like there's not enough news articles this week because, I don't know, it's just, I don't know, Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up and we've just got over Halloween and, you know, maybe there's just nothing really going on. I'm coming up with new stuff, trying to find bits and pieces. It's a bit tricky. No, I don't want to talk about that either. Can't stand that fucking cunt. Yeah, I got some article about Dennis Dyack. I just can't stand that prick. He gets my fucking tits. Here we go. Yeah, Double Fine. There we are. Double Fine lays off a dozen staff and cancels unannounced projects. Psychonauts and Costume Quest developer Double Fine has laid off a dozen employees following a publisher backing out of an unannounced project. That's probably due to how badly Costume Quest 2 did. One of our unannounced projects was expectedly cancelled by its publisher, focusing us to reduce our staff by 12 people, said company founder Tim Schafer in a statement to Eurogamer. Our remaining projects, Broken Age, Massive Chalice, and Grim Fandango Remastered, were unaffected. It is not clear that what unannounced project was, or if it was part of the four-game prototypes being developed following Amnesia Fortnite 2014, wherein the studio whips up the test versions of new game ideas over the course of 2 weeks. Some of these ideas sounded quite spiffy too, like Adventure Time creator Pendleton Ward's game prototype, Little Pink Best Buds, in which lots of little pink dudes want you to be your best bud. Okie dokie. That sounds weird, but it'd probably be something really fun, even in the fact that it's coming from Double Fine. And, you know, Adventure Time's creator. Double Fine's recently released the sci-fi fantasy adventure Hack and Slash, a fourth wall-breaking game about hacking the computer program which you were trapped into, i.e. the game. Eurogamer's contributor Dan Whitehead quite liked that one. Okay, since that wrapped up, Double Fine has been busy bringing its successful Broken Age and Massive Chalice Kickstarters to fruition, in addition to remastering Grim Fandango so folks can actually play it on the modern hardware. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind giving a go of Grim Fandango, because I mean, I've heard lots of people talk about how good this game is. I mean, I never got to play it because it was all PC. But yeah, give it a go when it comes out. I won't mind. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Here we go. Yeah, something else from Eurogamer. Ex-Bioshock's developers, The Black Glove, fails to meet its Kickstarter goal. Yeah, here we go. Surreal sci-fi adventure, The Black Glove, has failed to meet its half a million Kickstarter goal, ending with $216,517. We've covered The Black Glove before, as it was the work of roughly a dozen ex-Bioshock devs, and its early 20th century inspired art bore more than a passing resemblance to Bioshock's lavish noir setting. Well, no shit, because it's a bunch of Bioshock developers. Particularly the Fort Frolic stage depicting a crazed musician and his bunny mask wearing paper mache corpses. Yes, definitely a definite nod to the Bioshock. The Black Glove is set in a theatre of the absurd called the Equinox, where an otherworldly 80s game arcade game haunts the premises, and you travel back through time to influence various artists' work. That sounds interesting, really. I mean, I don't know if I play it, but it does sound interesting. So what's next for the project, given its underwhelming commercial stature on Kickstarter? Developer at Day 4 Nights Games is pursuing other options and talking to publishers about potential partnerships to hopefully fund the game. Says, we mean to fight like hell to keep it from being cancelled. We believe in the game. You'll have shown you do too, said Day for Nights. Day for Nights foe fielder in a Kickstarter update. We're pursuing all options when we're beginning to talk to all the publishers who have reached out over the last few weeks. We have had a few other ideas as well. Towards the end of the campaign, Day for Nights added the promise of a PlayStation 4 version and Oculus Rift support for the Black Glove.
But yeah, so it's not cancelled, but it's on hiatus for a bit. So we'll see what becomes of that. Hopefully soon, but we'll wait and see. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, I say Grand Theft Auto is now the UK's best-selling game ever. Rockstar's open world was already close to the previous record holder, 2010's Call of Duty Black Ops, which it finally overtook this weekend thanks to the arrival of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions. GTA 5 already held the record for the highest grossing UK game in a week, £95 million upon its original launch last year and of all time. Unsurprisingly, it's also the UK's new all-format chart number one. Far Cry 4 also performed well. It outsold any previous Far Cry game during its launch week, although it was the first to be given an earlier launch on a Tuesday rather than traditional Friday. Yeah, because games come out on a Friday over here, so we can play them for the weekend, whereas, you know, games and movies and stuff out in the rest of the world, usually on a Tuesday. Dragon Age Inquisition entered the chart in fifth place below Far Cry 4, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and FIFA 15. Sales of BioWare's role-playing were on par with 2011's Dragon Age 2, but it's worth remembering the UK's numbers company, Chartrack, doesn't count digital sales, of which PC copies through Origin will make up a decent amount. But other titles fared less well. Sonic Boom, Rise of Lyric for the Wii U, and Sonic Boom Shattered Crystal for 3DS failed to appear in the top 40 at all. Yeah, because it's Sonic Boom. It's another Sonic game based on TV series, based on a game. Ubisoft's Shape Up, an Xbox One exclusive that requires Kinect, also failed to show up. Well, no shit, because it's a game that requires the Kinect. No one fucking has that. It's a piece of shit. No one wants it. Assassin's Creed Unity was sixth this week, followed by WWE 2K15 in seventh. Lego Batman 3 in eighth, which I need to get as well. That's one of the things on my list, but it's another Lego game. It's the same shit. That's what I say, even though it's, you know, Lego Batman 3, it's a sequel to the previous Lego Batman, it's still a Lego game, which is similar to Indiana Jones, to Harry Potter, to Lord of the Rings, to Star Wars. You know, it's the same stuff. Minecraft PlayStation Edition in 9th and Halo Master Chief Collection in 10th. Yeah, so congrats to Grand Theft Auto. I mean, deserves it, because Grand Theft Auto is a really good game. Let's find something else to finish off the first half of the show with. Okay, let's go with this. This is something I'm really looking forward to. This is from Eurogamer. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions has pre-ordered DLC and platform exclusive levels. Scratch me face. Twin stick arcade shooter prequel Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions includes pre-order DLC for platform exclusive levels for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, which is great. So everyone's getting their own version of the levels, and probably those levels will be, you know, paid DLC later down the line. The game will launch on Steam. Oh, hello. This is interesting. The game will launch on Steam on the 25th of November, so it's out now. And then PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One on the 26th of November, which is tomorrow. Pre-purchase the game. Pre-purchase the game via Steam for just under £12, £11.99, and get two bonus levels: the triangle-shaped secret eye and the donut-shaped blood count. I'm glad that read that. Glad I read that right. On Xbox One, you can pre-order for just under £14 at £30.99 and get the blood count for free. There's no pre-order options available for the Xbox 360 owners, so instead, blood count is available for those who purchased the game between 26th of November and the 2nd of December. Additionally, the Xbox 360 and Xbox One copies include the exclusive cube-shaped Titan Box level, which is coloured Xbox green. And on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, you can also pre-order for the Secret Eye level, which I should have done that. Maybe I can do that tonight. Both Sony consoles versions also contain the exclusive symbolic level, where enemies spawn in clusters shaped like PlayStation controller buttons. Yay. Geometry Wars 3 includes the same gameplay as early entries in the series, although now spread over 3D environments. Yeah, I really fucking jonesing for this game. I really want this. It looks so much fun. I'm going to say,
John Drew was one. I didn't like it too much because it was there wasn't much to it. It was literally one map and that was it, and different modes, whatever. Geometry Wars 2, awesome. Different modes, different maps, great. Had lots of fun. This, everything's in 3D now, 3D maps. You know, and the same old maps, and oh, just so much fun that we had. I need to get this game. I really fucking do. Yeah, it's pretty much time for my break now, because I have been talking for an hour, and I need a drink, because my mouth is very dry, and I can barely speak. But yeah, I will be back in about 10 minutes after these messages. So, you know, get yourself a drink, get yourself something to eat, or you can just stay and listen to these messages. I'll be back in a few minutes. Speak to you soon. Bye.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh, boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Now, deep beat, because the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the high. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa the Poopy.
Papa the Poopy.
Okay. To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Gaming Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, as I usually am. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed your break. I had a drink and a banana, just to film some up, because it's still bloody cold. It's just gone 10. I am freezing. I'm wrapped up in my bloody duvet thing for my sofa. I'm just sort of, you know, sitting here freezing to death, as I am. Back to the old news. A whole load of Microsoft-based stuff, so I'll get through that. I say, it's disappointing. There's not much news. I hope this isn't going to be an early finish show, because I have been getting quite a few, getting through what I have been talking about quite quickly. But I'll start with this. Xbox One exclusive Quantum Break stars Lord of the Rings and X-Men actors. Xbox One exclusive Quantum Break will feature Lord of the Rings actor Dominic Monaghan, and X-Men's Sean Ashmore. Quantum Break and Alan Wake developer Remedy Entertainment revealed the casting via a new message to its Twitter account over the weekend. Doing a picture of them doing motion capture in LA. There's no words yet on who each actor will portray. I have no idea who any of the cast... who any of the characters in Quantum Break are anyway, because that game's been so... I mean, yeah, they're working on it, but that game's been so up in the air about everything for the past year or so that, I don't know. I'm just glad things are happening with the bloody game. Monaghan is also famous for his work on Lost, while Ashmore has four X-Men X-Men films and an ongoing role in the US series The Following under his belt. Quantum Break Enterprises levels of the game with live-action episodes. Presumably both actors are involved in these two. Platforming and third-person shooting sections in the game play heroes. In the game stars heroes such as the game's leading man, Jack Joyce, while the episodes of its sort of TV show follow the game's villains. Will it work? It's hard to tell right now. Wesley... Yin Pol wrote on Eurogamer's Quantum Break preview earlier this year. Whatever you take on the whole TV. What the fuck is that? Hang on. The whole TV. Okay. That's trying to get there. They need to work on these fucking writers, seriously. So this game could be good or it could be a big pile of shit. But, you know, they've got Oscar winning actor. You know, fucking. These two arseholes are doing fuck all with their careers and yet they're in the game. So. Okay, that's good, I guess, but you know, I have no interest in Quantum Break whatsoever. It might be good, it might be shit, we'll have to see. Yeah, to be honest, I have literally no interest in this whatsoever. Limbo. Limbo launches on Xbox One, free for early adopters. Hang on, I'll read the original story, there's an usual update as there usually is. Oh, bloody hell. Okie doke. Here we go. Yes, Microsoft has quietly released cult platforming hit Limbo on Xbox One, but so far it's only available for early adopters of the console. An unknown number of Xbox One owners were messaged with a free code for the game over the weekend as part of Microsoft's first anniversary celebrations. The unannounced gift has so far not been mentioned on any of the Microsoft's official channels. It is unclear how many copies were sent out or what the requirements were to receive a free copy. But anecdotally, codes appear to have been sent to anyone with an Xbox One Day One achievement, which you were able to unlock by purchasing a Day One branded version of the console. Limbo was shown with critical acclaim upon its original release for the Xbox 360 back in 2010. It's a couple subsequently released on other platform on other formats, but its spiritual successor inside June next year will also launch on the Xbox One. So that's good, but let's read this update. Microsoft has confirmed that its recent surprise free gift of Limbo was sent to anyone who had used their Xbox One during the console's launch weekend. The platformer's new Xbox One port will be made available to purchase for everyone else very soon. We're looking forward to launching Limbo on Xbox One, a Microsoft spokesperson said to Eurogamer. As a thank you to our early adopters, fans who played Xbox One, the first weekend of the launch will receive early free access to the game. Limbo will also be available for purchase via Xbox Game Store soon. And yeah, I say Limbo, I liked it. It was good. I mean, I didn't finish it because I got bored and it just dragged on and on and on and on. But yeah, it's a decent enough puzzle game. You know, if you like that sort of stuff, you know, get it when it does launch, or if you're on the free Xbox One, or just buy it on the Xbox 360, which is available now. Here we go. Some sort of stuff going off with the Xbox One itself. Give me one sec, because I don't know if this is like a follow-up article or... because I know I had something else as well. No, we'll read this. Basically, don't call it a comeback. Fucking assholes. Don't call it a comeback, Xbox One's first year. Xbox One launched 1 year ago after 9 months of... Ignominy for Xbox One's gaming division. It has been, without exaggeration, a disaster. From the misjudge unveiling with its focus on TV. Oh, that's okay. That's what they're trying to get at. To the mangled message of some suspect and frequently revised policies on privacy, indie development, and game ownership. Yeah, the whole big fuck up with PlayStation was taking the piss out of you. It was quite funny. The gamers who had adopted Xbox in ever increasing numbers over the previous two generations felt condensed. Condescended. Here we go. At launch, the Xbox was overpriced and overweight. Bundled with a Kinect peripheral, many had no interest in. Nobody had interest in this fucking thing. Microsoft had proven to be a surprisingly spirited underdog in the console market, but now hubris and arrogance had set in. Could the Redmond giant take it around? Today's anniversary provides a good excuse to take stock of the console's first 12 months, just as it did for the PlayStation 4's last week. Yeah, because both been out for a year. God, how long is this article going for? Jesus Christ. I'm not fucking reading this article. Jesus Christ. It's more like a story. I'm like, yeah, I'm not reading that. Let's move on. Something else. This is something a bit more shorter, hopefully, because I know I've got plenty of time to talk, but I don't want to talk that much about something that you can read yourself. Xbox One sales quickly catching up to PlayStation 4, EA executive claims. Publisher expects new gen install base north of 25 million units after Christmas. While the PlayStation 4 has been an early front-runner in the new-gen console race, a senior EA executive claims that Xbox One is closing the gap on Sony's systems. But yeah, so I thought that was obvious anyway. You know, PlayStation 4 was first out the gate, for sale-wise anyway, and Xbox One was playing catch-up because of the Kinect, and no one wanted it, so we're like, well, let's buy this, well, you don't need a fucking camera that does nothing, and people bought a PlayStation 4. Speaking at the UBS Global Technology Conference this week, EA Chief Executive Blake Jorgensen said via Gamasutra, clearly Sony has jumped out to a lead with a great console and I think a great pricing strategy, but Microsoft is quickly catching up. Pricing actions that are taking place, particularly during this Christmas season, driven by Microsoft and reduction placed... for fuck's sake, what the hell's wrong with me? I can't even speak. And around reduction plus a lot of bundled software. I think we will continue to pull the consumer into the new consoles, he added. Jorgensen also estimated that the installer base for new-gen consoles will be north of 25 million following the Christmas holiday season. As of September 30th, PlayStation 4 sales to retailers stood at around 13.5 million. 10 million of those had been sold through to consumers by August 12th. According to Sony, in comparison, Microsoft claimed in mid-November that Xbox One sales to retailers were fast approaching 10 million units. Youssef Mendy, Microsoft's corporate vice president of devices and studios, said at the time that Xbox One sales had skyrocketed since a new price point took effect in the US on November 2nd. Compared to the previous week, Xbox One sales in the US had more than tripled. He added, as we head into the busy holiday season, Xbox One lead Generation 8 console sales in the US for the past 2 weeks. Should the pattern continue throughout November, it would mark a welcome turnaround for Microsoft in the US. According to a retail monitor, NPD Group, PlayStation 4 outsold Xbox One in each of the first 10 months of 2014. Xbox One's last month sales victory in the US was recorded in December 2013. So, yeah, I mean, the sales are coming around. But the thing is, as I said, it's the Kinect that basically let them down. If they didn't bundle that piece of shit in, you know, making peripherals that nobody wants to play with, you know, I mean, it's a bit of a pain. It really is. Yeah, that's pretty much all that sort of stuff I got from Microsoft. Let's go for some Sony stuff. Here we go, about the Vita. See, more stuff that people don't want. Sony to participate partially refund early US Vita adopters after its deceptive marketing. The Federal Trade Commission, a US-based government agency, has found Sony guilty of deceptive acts or practices in regard to its advertising of the Vita at launch, and now it must pay back all of those who purchased the handheld before 1st of June 2012. Those affected will receive an email notification from Sony offering a $25 cash return. $25 cash refund or $50 in credits. The Federal Trade Commission announced. So what did Sony violate exactly? Let me count the ways. First off, its ad suggested that the handheld device would support remote play with any PlayStation 3 game, so you could play it on the go. In actuality, the feature ranges from title to title, in fact. There were even ads showing someone playing Killzone 3 on the Vita, despite the fact that the game doesn't feature remote play support. Whoops. Very few, other PlayStation 3 games of similar size and complexity are remote play compatible, the ruling noted. Furthermore, cross-saving between PlayStation 3 and Vita was an advertised feature that was suggested to be available to all titles, when in fact this also ranges based on the title in question. Ads made it look like you could stop a PlayStation 3 game at any time, then resume it on the Vita. When lots of games either didn't offer this option at all or only offered it in a limited capacity. For example, MLB 2012, the show offered cross-save, but only between lengthy full nine-inning games. Needless to say, that wasn't a very convenient way to swap your progress back and forth, yet that's what the ad suggested. It also wasn't clear that users had to own copies of the game on both PlayStation 3 and Vita to do this. That may seem obvious to us now, but given how Sony was highlighting remote play, it appeared that this could be the sort of thing you could do. Finally, early Vita ads strongly hinted that you'd be able to play live multiplayer matches if you splurged down the 3G mobile and subscribed to AT&T's mobile broadband network. As it turned out, this was limited to... what the hell is that word? Asynchronous? I don't know what the fuck that means. Or turn-based gaming. The FTC also went from after the ad agency representing Sony at the time, Deutsche LA, for deceptive product endorsements after it asked employees to toss out positive Vita-related messages on Twitter from accounts designed to look like personal property. Of course it is, it's spam accounts. Hashtags like hashtag game changer were disguised not to look like advertising when they really were. Yeah, of course it is. It's not hard to make a fucking spam account and just, you know, do that sort of shit. But yeah, so basically Sony got, you know, in trouble for it, and now they're literally just paying all their, people who bought the Vita, some cash. Here we go. Yeah, so Secret Ponchos free upon PlayStation 4 release next week. Secret Ponchos are finally has a release PlayStation 4 release date, the 2nd of December, and it will be free for free all month for PlayStation Plus subscribers. This is the Spaghetti Western multiplayer arena game by Switchblade Monkeys. It was on a demo reel for PlayStation 4 when the console was unveiled. I don't remember it, but I need to watch the trailer, but I'll do that later. You play a zoomed-out third-person view and use an array of themed abilities, whips, six-shooters, knives, to bring down your foes. The pace isn't relentless. It's staccato and misses. What the fuck is they talking about? Jesus Christ, this is your own game. What the fuck are you trying to say? Yeah, it's basically between rounds, you customize your hero, tweaking their abilities. All the time, you earn a bounty on your head. The higher the better you do. Super Ponchos is out on Steam at Early Access, where it costs, was it £11? The standard PlayStation price isn't mentioned, so we'll find out. But yeah, it's free next week for PlayStation Plus members. I'm going to pick it up and give it a go. But yeah, it should be fun and interesting, hopefully. You know, see how it goes. What else we got? Yeah, here we go. Sony forecasts PlayStation growth, trimming TV and mobile lineup. Company hoping to boost game division sales by almost a quarter by 2018. Sony has forecast significant PlayStation sale growth as part of a new three-year business plan outlined to investors on Tuesday. The company's game and network services division is expected to target largest revenue generator of Sony's electronics business during the financial year ending March 31st, 2018. Sony hopes to boost the division's annual sales by almost a quarter from the year's from last year's target of 1.29 trillion yen, which is about £7 billion, which is about $10 billion. Well, to yeah, basically 1.6 trillion yen, which is £8.5 billion, just under $14 billion. Meanwhile, the firm plans to reduce its TV and mobile phone product lineups to cut costs, as reported by Reuters. Mobile division boss Hiroki Takoti told investors, "We're not aiming for the size of the market per share, but better profits." Yeah, so I'm guessing that the sales aren't going that well, so that's why they're doing the cutbacks. But his comments echoed those of Sony CEO and former PlayStation boss Kaz Hirai, who said in May that the company's electronics arm would generally aim to prioritize profit over sales volume, though he cited PlayStation 4 as an exception. Hirai said that network services would play an important role in turning around the business. The fortunes of the company as electronic arm and the PlayStation 4's success would be crucial to achieving this. Yeah, so that's good, I guess. They're trying to reorganize and restructure. You know, no doubt there's probably be job losses on the way, as usually is. Yeah, it's a thing, really. I don't really rate the Sony mobiles that much. I think I had one. I might have, or I knew someone who had one. And they weren't happy with it, so, you know, go with a Samsung or something. Let's have a look. All right. What have I got from Nintendo? A whole bunch from Nintendo. Let's do some of that. Yeah, Nintendo isn't working on any paid DLC for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Is it Brawl? No, it's whatever. For the Wii, yeah. Super Smash Bros. Director Masahiro Sakurai has also confirmed that Nintendo isn't planning on developing any paid DLC for the popular 3DS and Wii U brawler. He says, "What can I say about now about paid DLC is that we aren't working on anything at the moment." Sakurai confirmed in an interview with Video Gamer. He says, "We've put all our efforts into making an actual game. Creating DLC would involve large amounts, large additional cost, and require the involvement of a lot of people. I can't yet give an answer about whether the price would justify the costs, and the fact that, you know, yes, the Wii U is selling, but not as well as they'd hoped. You know, there's no point putting out some sort of DLC where pretty much no one's going to buy it. Beyond the cost in time, effort and money, Sakurai is wary of the message DLC sends to players. He's worried players will feel cheated by not getting post-release content that would be that they should have been included at launch." Which, yeah, that's the way most people feel when it comes to DLC. It's like, yeah, why is this a DLC thing? Why isn't this in the game? You know, all that sort of stuff. I appreciate that a major part of the excitement for these games comes from which characters will appear in the roster, so I think fans would really enjoy DLC that would keep this excitement going. However, I think there might be a criticism that we are cutting up content to sell characters one by one, or that we are adding things later that we should have been from the start. Creating a single fighter involves a huge investment, and we've already been giving it all our investment, investing a lot of work in the characters currently available, he added. I think it's an incredible package in terms of the sheer amount of content in the game, but it also but it means that people may have may not understand and may think that I am not offering enough by just looking at the DLC itself. When Video Gamer said about making playable versions of Richie Filame's Shigeru Miyamoto and Satoru Iwata, Sakurai rejected the fan by an ocean. He says, "I don't think the inclusion of these characters would be very interesting to a wider audience." Of course not. Of course not. It's stupid. He also said, "For the amount of effort involved, I would actually prefer to add another roster character, as it takes a lot to work on a character to the game. It's not a decision that can be taken lightly." Yeah, basically, because you've got to balance it and everything. So far, the only announced DLC for Super Smash Bros. Is a playable Pokemon Mewtwo, which will be given will be available for free to download for those who have registered copies of both the 3DS and the Wii versions of the Brawler. It's not announced if there will be options to attain the popular Pokemon. So Super Smash Bros. Wii U is due out the end of this week and in Europe, but it's already out in North America from last week. But yeah, I said last week I played 3DS version. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm going with this demo. I just didn't like it. It really did nothing for me. Got lots of more stuff on the Mario here. Super Smash Brothers. It's the fastest selling Wii U game ever in the US, which isn't saying much, to be honest. Yeah, Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U has become Nintendo's fastest selling Wii U game ever in the US. The All-Star Beat 'em Up broke through just under 500,000 in sales, 490,000. After 3 days on sale, Nintendo has beating previous record holder Mario Kart 8. Smash Brothers on the Wii U version is due out to release here in Europe this Friday, and then Japan on December 6th. The game is Nintendo's big Wii U release for the Christmas period, and also helps launch the company's new Amiibo NFC toy range. It has been 6 years since the last home console version of Smash Brothers, which was Brawl for the Wii, a factor that Nintendo suggested has contributed to the game's success. Yes, basically, you leave it long enough without a game, as soon as one does come along, people will buy it straight away. Nintendo's new 3DS version of the game launched last month and now has passed the million sales mark worldwide. But yeah, good for that, I guess. But I just can't stand Smash Brothers. I tried to play it. It just was terrible. It was just terrible. I just didn't like it. Final bit of Nintendo news. This is from Eurogame. This is interesting. Mario Galaxy's planetary physics explained in university paper. For University of Leicester, students have examined the physics behind Nintendo's platforming hit Super Mario Galaxy. The short paper titled It's Amy Density, very funny, attempts to rationalize the size of a typical galaxy planetoid with the level of gravity affecting the player. Galaxy lets Mario jump around and walk with much the same gravity on Earth or in the Mushroom Kingdom, but the game's spherical worlds are far smaller than your average planet. Such objects are possible, but would need to be incredibly dense for all the sums to add up. If a planet with density of a white dwarf, a 50 meter radius, and Earth-like gravity were to be constructed, what would happen? The paper ponders. It turns out that Mario wouldn't fare too well. The difference in gravity is such extremes. Extreme conditions would inflate and redden the subject's face. The paper determines it is also possible that this is the source of Mario's baby-like complexion. More seriously, however, none of the planetoids would last long enough for you to step onto them. The outcome of this discrepancy is that the construction, if they're constructed, the planet would survive only for a brief moment before violently destroying itself. Any short plumbers who happen to be roaming around on its planet's surface, yeah, would die as well. Yeah, so basically it's a nice little thing. I mean, it's a bit of a weird thing to write a paper on for, you know, for university, but I don't know. I guess it's just a weird little thing. Yeah, here we go. CVG, Irrational Games Behind begins hiring new staff. BioShock Studio is now much smaller, focusing on digital titles. Irrational Games has begun hiring new staff following the closure of the studio earlier this year. In February, as the development of the final DLC for BioShock Infinite neared completion, Irrational co-founder Ken Levine announced that the studio was to close down, with a total of 70 employees and 5 contractors laid off. Yeah, however, Irrational has now posted 2 job listings on its website, confirming Levine's plans to continue the studio with a much smaller workforce. The studio is looking for an IT manager, but more importantly, it's also advertising for a senior programmer with experience using Unreal Engine 3 and 4, suggesting a new Irrational game is in the early stages of development. Well, no shit. Levine made the announcement on the studio's apparent closure via a lengthy web post detailing plans to shut the BioShock studio and form a new outfit made up of about 15 members of the Irrational team, with a focus on narrative-driven digital games that are highly replayable. I'll be starting a smaller, more entrepreneurial endeavor at Take-Two, he said in February. That is going to mean parting ways with all but about 15 members of the Irrational team. He says, I'm handing the reins of our creation, the BioShock engine. BioShock Universe to 2K, so our new venture can focus entirely on replayable narrative. If we're lucky, we'll build something half as memorable as BioShock and half as unmemorable as BioShock Infinite. I guess. But he seems to be focused on the replayability, so it better be bloody good whatever he's making is anyway. Here we go. That's one of a few articles I've got left to read. I'm sort of running out of articles. This is from CVG. Battlefield 5 will still be military-themed, says EA CFO. The next main game in the series will not move away from the battlegrounds. Well, it shouldn't be, because it's all about shooting and killing and stuff. The fifth game in the Battlefield series will once again be a military shooter, despite the upcoming police-themed Battlefield Hardline, which is what I really want to get. Placing the series in a new environment. Hardline focuses on police and SWAT teams and the war on crime in urban environments, something of a departure from the usual team-based military combat featured in the main Battlefield series. However, during Tuesday's 2014 UBS Global Technology Conference, Blake Jorgensen from EA CFO revealed that Battlefield 5 once again be themed military themes, mentioning that he has already seen Battlefield 5 in action, and that is was shaping up to be a fun new Battlefield. Jorgensen added, that will be a return to Battlefield's military style. More to come on that, he says. EA confirmed in late October during its financial year 2015 financial results call that Battlefield 5 will be released in holiday 2016. So basically, 2 years from now, really. So it's early stages, but you know he's liking what he's seen. But I'll carry on. The announcement affirmed recent suspicions that the next game in this main Battlefield series would give away to the release of also DICE developed. Basically, because we've got Star Wars Battlefront coming out next year, they're taking an extra year to get ready on Battlefield 5, so that way it can be polished and fixed and basically not run into the same problems that Battlefield 4 did with, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The whole servers and online and just all the big problems it had when it came out. Nothing else is known of the title, which will likely still be in the earliest stage of development in DICE alongside Battlefront and the studio's other main AAA project, Mirror's Edge 2. But, no doubt we'll probably see more on this later on. Which is good, I guess, I mean, I'm not fussed. I didn't play Battlefield 4. I've no interest in it. Battlefield Hardline, I do have interest in. Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, when it comes out, I'm looking forward to that. It's, trying to find stuff to play. And as I said, with the sequel stuff, it's more military shooters, and that's what we're getting. Here we go. Yeah, Ethereum Odyssey 5 announced. This is from IGN. There is no release time frame for Etrian Odyssey 5. And Atlus hasn't released revealed what platform the RPG will land on. However, all previous Etrian Odyssey installments have launched on Nintendo 3DS and 3DS. Shigeo Kimori, also who's directing the newest franchise entry, with Yuzo Koshiro composing the title, which is only announced for Japan at the time. In addition, Atlus is unveiled a new collaboration title with Spike Chunsoft called Etrian Odyssey and the Mystery Dungeon. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. The 3DS game will feature Etrian Odyssey characters in the roguelike gameplay of the Mystery Dungeon series, according to Silicon Era. Similar to the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon titles, the mashup game is set to release in Japan on March 5th. I know of the Etrian Odyssey series because I was looking up RPGs and stuff to play on my DS and my 3DS. This could be good, I guess. I mean, there's a trailer, like a teaser trailer, which I'll be watching later. But yeah, there's so much stuff that, you know, I'm looking for a decent RPG to play, and you know, hopefully stuff to find is coming soon. Okay, let's have a look, because I'm running out of topics and stuff. Okie dokie. Okay, here we are. This is something that I found very disturbing. Really disturbing, should we say. As soon as it loads, I'll be happy. Here we go. Yeah, this is from IGN as well. New gaming controller literally drains your blood. When you bleed in video game, you bleed in real life. This could be the pitch for a modern horror movie, but also the pitch for Bloodsport, a mechanism that drains your blood as you play games. For donation, of course. Bloodsport, the ultimate in immersive gaming, is a Kickstarter project that aims to use video games to increase the amount of blood donated in Canada, because there's nothing else going on in Canada anyway. It takes the electrical signal sent into any controller with the rumble functionality, as uses it to activate the blood collecting device, where you can check this out in the Kickstarter. There's a video which I'm not going to bother putting on, but yeah, this is weird. It makes me feel ill. With Bloodsport, we're raising the stakes of gaming by making it so that when you lose blood in the game, you lose it in real life as well. As we're doing it, it takes electrical signal from the controller every time it rumbles and uses it to turn blood into the collector system. Bloodsport regulates how much blood is pulled from the body with each pull. The fluid is then filtered into the sterile bloody bags. The goal is to take Bloodsport to donation centres across Canada for blood donation gaming events. Why don't you just fucking lie on a bed like I used to do and put a needle in your arm? and draw blood, not put heroin or whatever. Never do drugs. That sounds so fucking stupid. Just go down to a blood bank, donate your blood, and then fucking go home again and play computer games. It's just wasting time and it's nice, but it's just wasting time and effort. It really is. It's running out of literally last few topics. Here we go, yeah. This is for developer Child of Light, profitable enough for a sequel. Ubisoft Montreal's digital-only role-playing game Child of Light is profitable enough to continue the series. Far Cry 3 creative director Patrick Pallaud revealed when speaking at Game On financial conference in Toronto, according to gamesindustry.biz. It's not as profitable as Assassin's Creed is profitable, but it's also profitable enough that we would have been able to fund a sequel. Pallaud said adding to the game's budget was reportedly around $2 million. It's basically Child of Light was a chance at creative freedom for the developer, as Pallaud was hesitant to continue AAA development at Ubisoft. He says, I can't explain everything, but the main reason why I got greenlit on the project was because I had carte blanche for making Far Cry 3. I didn't want to make Far Cry 3, but they said, Pat, if you do that and help build the brand, we're going to give you a free shot at the game you want. Ubisoft was so impressed with Child Alliance that it established the RPG developer as a core team at Ubisoft Montreal, citing the team's desire to work together again on another game. Child Alliance launched in April, and was it 9.3? I was tempted to pick it up. I might now, knowing that you might get a sequel, but it's that time of the year. There's so much other stuff that I want to play. It really is. Okie dokie, let's see. What else haven't I talked about? I've done that. Yeah, here we are. Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2 coming to Xbox One and PlayStation 4 next year. On next-gen consoles, DX11 PCs, the compatible compilation includes Dark Souls 2, its free DLC chapters, and new game content, including more enemies, different enemy placement, and an increased number of players around allowed in multiplayer. It also features enhanced graphics, which you can check out in the slideshow below. So that's pretty cool then. I mean, I might pick it up again, but yeah, I'll carry on reading this article anyway. Yeah, Scholar of the First Sin on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and DX9 PCs include Dark Souls 10 and the three chapters as well, but none previously listed editions. It launches alongside a larger scale update to version 1.10, which adds an additional NPC to seek out along the treacherous quest through Drangleic, as well as expanded story, in-game events, improved balance, and online matchmaking functionality. That's good. I might pick it up again. I might give it a go. I mean, it depends what I'm playing at that time of the year, because I know there'd be a whole bunch of stuff that I need to play and get to. It should be fun, to be honest. There we go, from CVG. 343 Industries head apologizes for continued Halo Master Chief Collection issues. He says, we have not delivered the experience you deserve, says Bonnie Ross. The head of Halo Master Chief Collection Studio 343 Industries has apologized for the issues that have significantly impaired the game's online multiplayer offering since launch. On November 11th, we remember Halo the Master Chief Collection, the goal being to create a tribute to Halo fans around the world and to celebrate the Master Chief's debut on Xbox One. Bonnie Ross said on Xbox Wire, she says, with the initial release of Halo Master Chief Collection, however, we have not delivered the experience you deserve. I personally apologize for this on behalf of all at 343 Industries. Our team is committed to working around the clock until these issues are resolved. The Halo Master Chief Collection release was marred by launch day matchmaking issues, many of which continue to affect the game more than 2 weeks later. Despite the temporary removal of some multiplayer playlists and launch of a major update on November 20th, players are still reporting widespread issues. I can assure you that resolving these issues is our number one priority, Ross stated. We continue to partner with the Xbox platform team to analyze all data to make ongoing server-side adjustments to continue to improve the matchmaking experience. We are also preparing additional content updates that will address existing campaign, UI, and other issues to improve the overall experience. With each update, we will continue to analyze data to confirm that the improvements we're seeking internally also happening with the fans at home. Please accept my heartfelt apologies for the delay and negative aspects of your experience to date. We're doing everything in our power to resolve this as quickly as possible. So at least they come out and say, yes, we're sorry for what we've done. We're going to fix it as soon as possible. But to be honest, though, if you're playing... I mean, yes, I know people who are playing this, actually, to be honest. But there's so much other stuff that you can play that you can sort of put this down for a little while until they fix it and get everything right. Until it needs to be fixed. But I don't know. One final news article, because literally this is my last bit. This is from CVG. Activision's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is the biggest entertainment launch of 2014. Franchise has now topped $10 billion in the worldwide lifetime sales. Activision says Call of Duty Advanced Warfare enjoyed the biggest first-week launch of any entertainment product in 2014. The claim is based on retail and digital sell-through. It reported movie, music, books, gross sales, according to public publicity available data. our publicly available data. Retail consumer, customer self, what's that, sell through information, and internal Activision estimates. So, yeah, internal estimates. Yeah, okay, that's made up numbers. Activision has also said that the first week sales were on last year's Call of Duty Ghosts as was player engagements with Activision with Advanced Warfare owners reportedly playing more than 370 million online matches. Additionally, the publisher claimed that Advanced Warfare has become the biggest selling digital launch in console history. Activision's Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick said, "Since Activision created the Call of Duty franchise in 2003, franchise revenues have exceeded $20 billion in sales worldwide, far exceeding box office receipts for such household movie franchises as Hunger Games, Transformers, Iron Man, and Avengers combined." Yes, basically. Advanced Warfare is the biggest entertainment launch of 2014 in terms of revenues, sports, or movie music, but yeah, I read all that bit. Activision publisher CEO Eric Hirschberg also said, "We poured our hearts into making Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, an epic ride, and we are pleased with the performance. Sales and engagement are up through the first week compared to last year. Season pass sales are up as well. The game has been very positively received. And response from fans has been tremendous. We believe Advanced Warfare will be the most successful game of the year, and we thank our fans for making it the biggest entertainment launch of the year." So good for you. Good for all the, you know, people who played this and enjoyed it and had fun with it. I mean, just Call of Duty has been going for years. I mean, you know, was it 2006 was Modern Warfare, and we've had Black Ops and Ghosts and all that sort of stuff since then. It's amazing. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week because I'm bloody tired and I can barely see what I'm doing because I need to clean my glasses. But yeah, don't forget, as I said, MLR Live 3 has been announced, which is 25th of April next year in Lakeland in Florida at the Preservation Hall. I will have more information as more information is given to me, but I can't wait. It's going to be really good fun. But so don't forget, if you do want to interact with the show, you can literally listen to me live Tuesdays, 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. You want to join in the chat, come to the morelightradio.com/live, get in the chat like all the other people who are here tonight. You want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join our Facebook groups, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. You want to like the Facebook page for the show, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. But so, don't forget, there's plenty of other shows tonight. We've got Alcohol by Volume, we've got My Time Now, you've got Dutch and Royce. And that's just Tuesday. You know, tomorrow, we have Hippo Juice and The Red Show. There's just so much going on. Go to morelightradio.com, look for all the live shows, all the information. You'll find it all there. Don't forget, as well, iTunes. You know, go on iTunes, look for Morelight Radio. Give us a review. 5 stars would be great. Let me know that you've reviewed it, and I'll read your review on the show. Give us something else to read once I do run out of topics. But yeah, don't forget, let me know what you've been playing, because I would love to read it out on the show. I do get a load of your emails. A few more would be nice, but I do like what I am reading, and it's very interesting. So I've got Pokemon coming to me this week, Dragon Age. I've got Far Cry 3 to sort of do more on. I'll have loads to talk about next week, and I will speak to you then. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours.
Viking, north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast, or east, occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.